Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Morton Davies. More than 50,000 miners have entered the United States from Central America, and long-term answers to the current humanitarian crisis on the borders is hard to come by. Much finger-pointing is happening and blame is being assessed, but what are the current needs of these youth right now, and what are some possible solutions? What do you want to see happen to these children, with these children? Should they be deported back to their home countries where gangs have taken over, human rights abuses are rampant, and extreme poverty is common? What are the alternatives? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. We're going to start off the conversation with State Senator Leticia Vandeput. She's currently running for Lieutenant Governor under the Democratic banner, and she has called on the state to quickly make it possible for local shelters to take in these children. So, Senator Vandeput, you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi. So what are some solutions? What do you think needs to happen here?
Well, first of all, I think that this situation with our unaccompanied minors is something that we've never seen before. It is a humanitarian issue, and I think that there's two things. First of all, what are we going to do with these children and how we help them right now? But we really need to eliminate those root causes. And that's a tougher question to be able to solve, and it's going to take our federal government understanding that these children are fleeing violence and huge problems of poverty in their own home countries.
That's a long-term solution. And certainly something that needs to be talked about and considered. But how do we deal with the children that we have here now?
Well, in the Rio Grande Valley and all along the border, we have had faith-based organizations, not-for-profits, and local leaders that have always taken care of these children. What is different now is their numbers. So, first of all, we don't turn our back on this challenge, and we understand that these are they're all children of God, and they have to be protected. The state of Texas can play a critical role in opening up our child residential facilities that are already governed by our Department of Family and Protective Services to add more capacity. We know that there are several, just like St. PJ's in San Antonio, that has said, you know, they have some ability to increase their capacity. So I was there along with several of my Senate and House colleagues to understand how wonderfully they are taking care of these children. They were in a gymnasium and they were in classrooms, and they supported these children, making sure that, you know, they've gotten here, they're frightened, they're very, very, you know, hungry and they're tired, and being able to take care of them. We can step this up, and I hope that we're able to answer that challenge very, very quickly.
And we can't keep these children in these facilities indefinitely. Are they eventually returned back to their home countries, or do they get on some sort of pathway to residency?
Well, the first thing that to understand is these children aren't hiding. They're not crossing the border hiding. They are willingly coming and wanting to be detained. What happens is these children, some may be trafficking victims, and then they're covered by the Trafficking Victims Protection Act and the Reauthorization Act, which was in 2008. Those children are treated very differently because they have been trafficked. But for most of the children, they are processed through the federal facilities, and they call them ORR. That's all I know. I don't exactly know what the acronym stands for, but everybody talks about their ORR, Office of Refugee Resettlement. Those offices process those children, and then they are placed in facilities. Texas isn't the only place. There are several other states where these children are until they can be reunified with a member of their family. So what we know that we can do in Texas, there are licensed facilities that are with the Residential Child Care Licensing Division here in Texas, that we've got that capacity, and we'd much rather those children be taken care of in those settings rather than what we see that is really a difficult situation in the processing centers along the border.
Senator Vandenberg, I know we don't have a lot of time with you, and thank you for calling in and giving us an update from your vantage point. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you. We are just so thankful to the people who have always done this. And our faith-based institutions, our not-for-profits, will stand up again and take care of these children.
All right, Senator Vandenberg, thank you for calling in. Appreciate that. So let's go to our other guest now, Jonathan Ryan. He's the Executive Director of Refugee and Immigration Center for Education and Legal Services. Marisa Bono, she is a staff attorney with the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. And Deborah Fowler, she's the Deputy Director for the Texas Appleseed. And today in the Express News, there was an editorial that she wrote saying that turning away kids is not something that the United States has done in the past and shouldn't do now. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
So Ryan, you're dealing with the Refugee and Immigration Center. What are the options here? What's on the table?
Right. Well, the children who are apprehended by Border Patrol are handed over to these Health and Human Services run. The senator was referring to ORR. That's a division within Health and Human Services. And they maintain custody of the children while their families, sponsors, guardians are being looked for to release the children to a less restrictive setting, which is what the law demands, that the children be in the least restrictive setting possible. And that's why the government tries to effect their release to a sponsor outside of the shelter system. Now, being released from the shelter doesn't mean that the immigration court procedure that they have now been entered into is going to stop. So the children have a continuing responsibility after they're released to attend all their court hearings, and if they're eligible for any kind of humanitarian protections, they have to present an application to either a judge or the Immigration Service for it to be adjudicated. The children that we're talking to could be eligible for various forms of relief. They may be eligible for asylum if they have a fear of being persecuted in their home country. There is additionally a relief to deportation, a humanitarian form of relief called special immigrant juvenile status. This is for children who have been subject to extreme forms of abuse, abandonment, neglect, or other crimes under our state laws. There are also visas available for children, as the senator described, who have been victims of human trafficking, victims of certain crimes, including sexual abuse, sexual violence, that have occurred in this country. So there are various forms of relief. Most of the children that we've spoken with over 700 of the children currently who are at Lackland Air Force Base. We have identified them as eligible for a defense to deportation. But the fact is that unless these children can connect with an attorney or a representative who is competent in this niche within a niche of the law and who has affordable or ideally on a pro bono basis can help them to prepare their humanitarian request for protection, they will not be able to navigate what is pretty much one of the most complex areas of the law that we have.
They've entered into the broken immigration system, you know, and it's fractured and it's overwhelmed and underfunded and there are not enough judges and not enough people in this area of the law.
I arrived to you today directly from the unaccompanied minors docket at the immigration courts, which we attend every week.
All right, so we're going to continue the conversation in just a bit. And if you got a question or a comment, we invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can write directly on the show page on our website at tpr.org. We're going to continue the conversation about what are the options for this humanitarian crisis that we have with the unaccompanied children coming in from Central America. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about this humanitarian crisis of over 50,000 minors who have entered the United States from Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, who have shown up on the banks of the Rio Grande, turning themselves into the Border Patrol, asking for asylum of sorts. If you got a question or a comment, give us a call. What do you think ought to happen to these children? The number is 210-614-8980. With me to talk about that, Jonathan Ryan. He's Executive Director of the Refugee and Immigration Center for Education and Legal Services. Marisa Bono, Staff Attorney at MALDEF, and Deborah Fowler. She is with Texas Appleseed, and she had an op-ed in today's San Antonio Express News. So, Marisa, let me ask you about this, because I know that President Obama has asked Congress to give him special powers to kind of change some of the laws so that because we don't have not traditionally deported what they would call OTMs other than Mexicans back to their home countries so readily, but now he wants to be able to fast track that process. So is that happening?
Sure. Well, the process that Jonathan just set out for you for minors, where they're able to stay here in the country with a family member or with a safe guardian or in a safe place in a shelter while their immigration situation is sorted out by the courts, that's something that was set up for them by Congress back in 2008. And now what the Obama administration is trying to do is to try to get rid of those special protections for kids to expedite the process for deporting them.
Okay, let's get turn it over to Deborah Fowler. You wrote the op-ed in today's paper saying that this is not the tradition that the United States has followed in the past and shouldn't do so now. So tell me more about that. What do you mean?
So I think the op-ed in the paper really turns to what we see as something that's not been part of the political rhetoric around the issue, which is that these are children who are fleeing violence and criminal activity in their home countries. Often have their own lives have been threatened. They've seen the lives of family members and neighbors and friends threatened, if not seen them killed. And it's really more akin to a refugee situation than an immigration situation. You mentioned the Obama announcement that he would seek congressional authority to fast-track the Central American youth in the same way that the Mexican youth are currently handled. And our Mexico Appleseed and National Office actually issued a report on the problems surrounding the way that the Mexican children are screened and repatriated. So we're particularly concerned about the possibility that these children will simply be added to a process that we know is already broken. If you can imagine, the folks who are responsible for the screening of the Mexican youth right now, who are already subject to this expedited removal process, are the very Customs and Border Patrol officers who have been complaining of being so overwhelmed by the number of children that they're having to care for in their facilities now. So imagine that we're going to add to their list of responsibilities not only the screening of the Mexican youth who may be housed there, but also the screening of the Central American youth. We know that they're not doing a good job of screening the Mexican kids. Now, they weren't when our Mexico and national offices published that report in 2011. So we are particularly concerned about the possibility that we may be adding more children to that broken system.
Well, you mentioned that these countries are very violent right now. I know I just got back from Honduras. I spent last week there looking into this issue. It's the murder capital of the world. It's got the more murders, and that means it's a country of 8 million people, but every day about 20 are murdered. And so it's out of control with gangs, and they're targeting children. And that just seems, and that's where these children, that's why they're fleeing.
Exactly. And if you can imagine that the children and the families are making the decision to undertake a journey that in itself is full of danger, but do so believing that that's their best chance at staying alive. The children's stories are really the stories that we need to focus on and really understand what is motivating the immigration or the surge in the number of kids that are crossing the borders.
Okay, let's get down to some phone calls. Our number is 614-8980. Shelley has called in. Shelley, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about this as an refugee situation. When you're talking about 50,000 children, if that were in another country, it would be making headlines and the United Nations would be talking about it. How is our response different than what other countries have had to do with their refugee situations?
Okay, Jonathan Ryan, you want to take that? Shelley, thanks for that call. Appreciate it.
One thing that we're hearing as we talk about the crisis in Central America now is that it is not simply a matter that children are leaving these countries and coming directly to the United States. Countries of Belize, of Costa Rica, Mexico, Nicaragua, all of the countries surrounding these three nations, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, have seen their asylum application rates rise to 400% and 500% of what they had been just a year or two ago.
So the children from Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala, they're going to these other countries as well.
They are fleeing in every direction. And I think that lends credence to the argument that this is indeed a case of people who are being pushed out, displaced from their homes and from their cities. Many children do make their way here north because there is a very strong pull as smugglers and traffickers are already engaged in the business of feeding our addictions of cocaine and of heroin and of human labor, moving them from Central America north. So initially children are displaced by these criminal cartels, and then they get swept up in what is a very well-trodden path north.
All right, another caller. Let's get Jonathan on the air. Jonathan, welcome to The Source. Johanna, I'm sorry. Johanna, you're
yes.
on. Go ahead.
Yes. My concern is that a lot of the politicians are barely taking grasp of what's going on. And they're coming forth and saying we need to take care of the children. But if you go to our east side and our west side of San Antonio, there's many of our own children that are not being taken care of. And why are we not looking for resolutions in terms of keeping the Latin American children in their country? For example, the United States has set up orphanages in other countries, and missionaries have the opportunity to go there and care for these children rather than bringing them to the United States and keeping them here. And my question for any of the politicians that are listening or any of the advocates that are listening, who is going to take care of these children long term? We're speaking in terms of Medicaid. We're speaking in terms of mental health care. We're speaking in terms of education. Our own children are not even at that level.
Okay, Johanna, thank you for the call. I'm going to get an answer for you. So Marisa Bono with MALDEF.
Well, I think it's important to note that our government has reached out to and engaged these Central American countries and then also the countries surrounding Central America to try to emphasize that there isn't any special treatment for these kids once they get here, to try to emphasize that any rumors of being able to get special status or permits are greatly exaggerated, and also trying to work with those governments to come up with solutions to prevent those kids from coming and to stem the tide. And I absolutely agree. There's a delicate balance where we need to be concerned about our domestic affairs, too. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, look, as long as you leave the hose on, the water is going to keep coming. As long as the violence continues in these countries, these kids are going to keep coming. And we do need to look at long-term, practical, comprehensive solutions to make sure that these kids are treated humanely, that they're safe. And also to the extent that they should be deported, that they are deported.
Okay, now the caller. Let's get Mike on the air. Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple of callers ago, a lady asked, who's going to pay for it? My heart goes out to these children, but the world has millions of children in need. And at $200,000 or $300,000 a piece to feed them and clothe them and house them and educate them until they're 18, I'm not sure that we can afford to take another 100 or 200 or 300 thousand kids. Who's going to pay the bill?
Okay, Mike, thanks for that question. We appreciate you calling in. Deborah Fowler from Texas Appleseed, do you want to take that?
Sure. I think this actually is a question that's best answered in combination with the last one. And to emphasize that the long-term solutions to the problem really need to focus on aid to the countries that are experiencing the violence and the corruption and the criminality that's pushing the kids across the borders. And we know that the Obama administration has not only started to try to dispel some of the rumors that that may in part be responsible for some of the increase in the numbers, but have also talked about increasing funding to the countries for programs that will help to deal with some of the issues that are at the root of the border crossings to begin with. You know, and ultimately, that's going to be a much better longer-term solution from a fiscal perspective. We know that it will cost less to actually help fund some programs in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador for the target education, better education for kids, that target some of the programs that would help them avoid the violence and the gang problems that they're plagued with in their communities now than it would to house them once they're in the United States. So those long-term solutions really need to look at, you know, what is the most effective and efficient from a fiscal perspective. For the kids that are crossing today, I mean, you know, we have children who are rightly protected by existing U.S. and international law based on the very serious conditions that they're confronting in their home countries. And, you know, to the extent that we are responsible for treating them humanely, I just don't think that there's a price tag that we should or a cap that we should associate with humane treatment of children.
Okay, all right, Deborah Fowler, she's the deputy director for Texas Appleseed. She wrote an op-ed that's in today's paper talking about that the United States does not have a tradition of turning away children, and we shouldn't start doing that now. Also joining us is Marisa Bono. She's a staff attorney for the MALDEF, Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund. And joining us is Jonathan Ryan, executive director of the Refugee and Immigration Center for Education and Legal Services. And I know you're really busy these days. And earlier we heard from State Senator Leticia Van Depute. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.